respond to Ron's question about how the leaves know when to change. In the northern hemisphere, when the axis of the earth changes, the photoperiod decreases, causing less sap to go up the cadmium in the tree, and as a result, the pigments change from green to red, and you don't have to know all that junk to appreciate the creativity of our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen. And what were those words you used again?
And now to the scripture. Luke 11:1-13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the doors will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
You know, I have to tell you, I am always impressed by the faithfulness and the fidelity of people like Phil and Jim, who are ushers week in and week out. I think they've been ushers for the longest period of time. And once in a while I ask myself, what is it that causes them the willingness to do that? I have an epiphany. They're already eating cookies. And there's apple cider. They have been back at that table I don't know how many times. I know you can't see this, but I'm going to tell you right now, Phil is woofing on some cookies. I don't even know. He's not going to even need lunch. Gloria, he doesn't need lunch. He's just going. He is going for the cookies. So the brilliance and the genius of your desires are amazing. So, and Phil's about to tell you he wants more cookies. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do this all the time. We are here because we believe. We are here because we know that if we speak to you, the things that you accomplish are amazing. And yet it seems, Father, that our prayers are so small. So like the disciples of Jesus this morning, I'm simply going to ask, will you teach us how to pray? In Jesus' name, teach us how to pray. Amen. I'm looking out at the congregation, and I'm going to make a guess. Given the fact that all of us are over 21 by a little bit. Do you remember when the telephone was a wonder in your house? Do you remember when getting a call was an event, especially a long-distance call? You know, I have lived all over the country. I was born in South Bend, Indiana. I moved then to Fresno, California. I moved then to Jamestown, New York. I moved then to Sacramento, California, all of which, at least 2 to 3 time zones, we jumped around. My grandparents, though, always stayed put. One set was in Los Angeles. They were little grandma and grandpa because they were like short. And then the tall grandma and grandpa were in Minneapolis. You know, the Andersons and the Gustafsons. And whenever they would call or we would call them, it got to be an event because everyone got a chance to say a little something because no one stayed on the phone long because it was expensive. But do you remember? I remember phones as being something remarkable. That when you got a phone call, you paid attention. When you got a phone call, it consumed all of your thinking. I also remember that in rural areas, how many of you grew up with a party line? Anybody grew up with a party line? Yeah, that was, wow, almost everybody. We had a thing in Harcourt that if you talked longer than 3 minutes, the phone said, well, you're done, and it would cut off. You know, and if you wanted to call them back, you could, but you only got 3 minutes of time. And I tell you, for some women, that was a challenge because they were, I mean, I wanted to see if I could get away with that, and I didn't. Yeah, after church, you're going to discover the true meaning of your sins will find you out. But, you know, you remember that telephones were amazing. Long-distance calls were special, and overseas calls were practically unheard of because of the cost. Well, that's all changed now. I mean, everybody's got a phone. How many are packing a phone right now? Anybody got a phone on them? Yeah, most of us have a phone. Yeah. And how many of you have discovered that people under the age of 30 don't actually talk on the phone? The phone is pardon me. Again, another country has heard from. But, you know, for the most part, they text or tweet. Or upload to their statuses on Facebook. Or they take pictures and put them on Pinterest. Or they put them on a number of sites. Or maybe they're on Flickr. Or maybe they're, and some of you are going, what is he talking about? You know, but, and to try and, how many of you would wonder if your kids even know how to phone home? Yeah. Yeah. For them, talking is just ubiquitous. It's just, they do it. It's almost without a thought. In the communication age, when communication ought to be miraculous, frequent, it almost seems like it's more difficult than ever because we take it for granted. I wonder if that's how we are with prayer. We assume that we can pray anytime, anywhere, anyhow. We are concerned that they've taken prayer out of schools. I find it interesting how many people have taken prayer out of work, out of their homes, out of their lives. We seem to have taken prayer out because it is so common and so available, we assume it's there all the time. We just don't use it. We don't use it. And when we do use it, it seems confusing. And we want to pray, and we hear about people praying for a long time, and we get into the middle of the prayer, and all of a sudden, in the middle of it, we don't have a clue what to pray for. When we've gone through all of the relatives and the concerns, which took all of 3.5 minutes, and now we're getting into a little bit longer prayer, we don't know really what to say. We don't know how to ask. We kind of run out of things, and we just sit there like, and we figure it's time to hang up. And praying out loud, oh heavens, we all assume we're terrible at that. Because we're all terrified of making a mistake. What happens if I use the wrong word, or if I stumble, or I stutter, or somehow I will look foolish? No, you don't look foolish. No one looks foolish to their Father in heaven. And so I'm asking, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray this morning? Teach us how to reach out to you and how to open our hearts and how to listen, to hear you, Lord, to show what it is that we're supposed to do. We're so inadequate about this, and so, Father, we ask that you would help us to make prayer not just the central part of our life, but the foundational part of our life. And God says, I have. So I want you to think about what I told my son to tell you in Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying. We really don't know where or when or how, or any of this, because previously he was teaching at Mary and Martha's house, which is an entirely numbered text that's fun to preach on. But you have this thing, and Jesus went off with his disciples, and they went off to pray. And they're watching Jesus in how he prays. And when he had finished, they said, "Master, Lord, would you teach us your prayer? John the Baptist has his prayer. Other rabbis have their prayer. We'd like to have a prayer that's known as being your followers. Would you teach us how to pray? Would you show us what we do? Give us something distinctive. Give us something to say." And Jesus said an interesting thing. If you look at verse number 2, you have your Bibles, look at verse number 2. And it says, when you pray, there's an expectation that you and I are going to be prayers. That a disciple or a follower of Jesus is going to be praying regularly. That we're going to pray. Remember when it says, Paul says, pray ceasingly, unceasingly, without ceasing? He really meant pray the prayers that all Jews prayed. Pray in the morning, pray at noon, pray at evening. Pray in the morning, pray at noon, pray in the evening. That was how a Jew, a good Jew, a God-fearing Jew prayed. Pray in the morning, pray at noon, pray in the evening. And you prayed. And they prayed for a long time. They prayed, sometimes they prayed the 18 benedictions, and sometimes they prayed other prayers. They always prayed the Shema, the Lord our God. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. They prayed that morning, noon, and night. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And they always remembered God by prayer. And I say, hey, that's a great model. How about if we started every morning we prayed, every afternoon we prayed, and every evening we prayed? And when we pray, Jesus said, here's a model you can use. Here's a model. When you start praying to God, by the way, how do you start? What words do you use for God? How many just start off God? Father, majestic creator of all things, ye who holds everything in the palm of. Have you ever noticed when preachers pray, all of a sudden God sounds very huge and very far away? Here's how Jesus started. And we have the Greek, we don't have the Aramaic, but I'll guarantee in the Aramaic it started like this. Abba. Dad. Daddy. Intimate. Approachable. Caring. Approaching God this way would have been unthinkable for a Jew, but he says, Abba. Abba. Hallowed be your name. May your character, may your reputation, may your name who declares who you are, may it be holy. May it be hallowed. May it be so special. That's one of the interesting things. We don't do that very often with God's name. Now, I'm not suggesting that we become like Jews that have different pens for writing the name of God, but once in a while, let's treat the name of God, Yahweh, Father, Abba, as being something remarkably precious. Not special, precious. Precious. And Lord, Abba, I want your kingdom to come. I can hardly wait for your rule to be established here on earth. Lord, I want your authority to be the highest thing in my life. I want it here. I want the recognition that you are sovereign everywhere. Right here, right now. And after we pray those two things, then Jesus said, and give us this day our daily bread. And give us the things we need, Father. Take care of our personal needs. We recognize that you are the source of everything we require. We recognize that you're the source of our food, our clothing, everything, all that we are, everything. You're the one that sustains us. You're the one that cares for us. That you are the source of support. We are in need of God's care. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we pray for everything, but how many of you say, Lord, you know what? I just need you today. I need you to provide my daily requirements for today. I can't do it on my own. I just can't. And then we pray that God's obligation on us would be fulfilled. Forgive us of our sins. Interestingly, that Luke says, forgive us our debts. That when we sin, we have an obligation of God on our lives. And when we are forgiven, we are released. We are freed from that obligation. And there is an urgent kind of sense that it's here and now, that it needs to be taken care of. How often do you pray for forgiveness? Do you pray every morning? Do you pray every afternoon? I think the way I've seen how I know I live, I need to pray. Father, would you forgive me? Forgive me my sins. And sometimes it's just good to remember what those are. I know that Jesus doesn't ask us to enumerate them, but once in a while, it's a good idea to remember what you have done, what you are capable of. How you can demean others, how you can be selfish, how you can be fly off the handle, how you can let things just pop out of your mouth that hurts someone else, that you would never in a million years think it ought to happen, so you just want to pop that back in. Father, we want you to forgive us just as we forgive those around us. It's an amazing condition. This condition is found not just in Luke, it's found in Matthew as well. And there's those two annoying verses in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 14 and 15. If you forgive others their sin, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And I'm thinking, why did you have to put that in there? I don't like verse 15. I wish it was just, you know, I want God to always forgive me. I don't want to be held accountable that I would remove any blockage or any obstacle from God allowing his forgiveness to flow through me. And then he said, lead us not into temptation. Give us the strength to withstand the temptation. Don't let us yield to that which tempts us. Well, Father, give us the escape route that we need. Give us the deliverance that we can stand for you and your kingdom. And this model prayer that Jesus gives us, he says, look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray that you would have a longing for God's action in setting up his kingdom, for the dependence and recognizing that you are absolute dependent upon the Father for your daily needs. The reconciliation that we receive to him has to be passed on to those around us, and ask for God's power to resist yielding to temptation. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. That's how we pray. And how many of you, when you read the Lord's Prayer, think, you know, I think he should have made it a little more complicated, a little more expansive. There needs to be something else. It seems so simple. Is there anything wrong with prayer being simple? Is there anything wrong with prayer being accessible for everyone? My experience, the more complicated you make it, the less often we do it. I think Jesus understood that. And then Jesus goes on to teach us about prayer. He doesn't stop there. He keeps teaching his disciples and he teaches us. And then he says, look, I want to tell you something else about prayer. You pray, God responds. You pray, God responds. Without question. You don't have to hound him. You don't have to keep after him. When your kids were teenagers, how many times did you have to ask them to clean their rooms? Once? Twice? 10 times? Yeah. 10 times 10?
70 times 70.
70 times 70. Daisy, don't look at your daughter. You know, think about what we clean, you know, When we ask God for something there, you don't have to go back and remind him. He knows. And he tells this great story. Suppose once upon a time you had a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you're thinking, midnight? You go to him at midnight, and you need some bread because you have unexpected guests coming to your house, and you've got a friend of yours who's on a journey, and they have come up, and it's midnight. They've shown up without telling you they're coming, and all of a sudden, you have no food to offer them, and you need something. And I think, wow, that is, 30 years ago, everyone would have understood that. I cannot tell you the last time somebody knocked on our door to need something. One of the reasons is that we have stores that are open till midnight. We have stores that are open 24 hours a day. You've got Speedways, you've got 7-Elevens, you've got Walmarts, you've got Tom's open till 10 o'clock. You've got everything, and it's always there. Everything is always there. And now, how many of you have had a guest just show up at 10 o'clock at night? Hey, we're here for 3 days. Really? Yippee. But the story comes back and he says, and by the way, why at midnight? Well, because it's hot during the day. It's easiest to travel in the dark. And so you come over there. Who's calling at midnight? Hey, friend, I have some guests. I need 3 loaves of bread. Can you give them to me? Now, you have to remember, the average house for a Galilean individual is 1 large room, and everyone slept in the same room. And they're all sleeping in the same room, and they all have mats over there, and everyone is now asleep. And think about, put your children, let's say you have a 10-year-old, you got a 7-year-old, and you've got a 3, and you've got an 18-month-old, right? And you got there, and all of a sudden, what happens? Everyone's awake. And, hey, excuse me, Kent, can you give me some bread? And I'm saying, are you kidding? Don't bother me. Not the response, that's not a friend, they're just annoyed. Don't bother me. The door's locked. My kids are in bed. I can't give up. If I get up, I get bread, I'm going to step on someone. We're all going to be awake. We're all going to be in a shudder. Go away. And Jesus said, I tell you, it is not that he's a friend that he's going to do this. It's because you don't quit. You don't stop. I like the way the NIV says, your shameless audacity, you don't stop. And finally he gives up. And can you imagine how fast that bread went out that door? I mean, John Elway couldn't throw that pass that fast. Here, go, boom. I want to get back to my bread. Boom, got out. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying you never have to do that with God. You never have to have the shameless audacity. God's character is that when you ask him, he responds. When you call upon him, he responds. He will answer your prayers. And then we go, well, wait a minute. Wait. I've prayed for things and God didn't answer. No, you prayed for things and God didn't give you what you wanted. How many of you have prayed for God to do something and you already have it laid out? You don't, God, I need something and I've already worked out what you need to do. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to plan it. Here, let me give you the plan. I've made it easy for you. Just do it. How many times do you think, how often when I went to Bob and Shirley, my folks, and said, Mom and Dad, I need something. Listen, don't even think about it. I got it laid out for you. I'm 13 years old. I got it all planned out. Here, would you just do this? And my parents go, no, not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And we look at God. And sometimes we think, if I pray harder, will I get what I want? No, you will get what you need, and God is going to teach you something about you aren't in control. You're not in control. Yeah, but what I want is good. What I want is right. Yes, it is, but I have something better. I can't see that. I know you can't. That's why you have to trust. And that is the hardest thing to do. That is the hardest thing to do. Because often what we want is something for not ourselves, but something for someone else. A child, a parent, a friend, a spouse. And we desperately want this because if we don't have it, something horrendous will occur. And at that point, God, we have to simply say, God, I trust you and believe you that you've got something better in store. I can't see it, but I will believe. I will believe. We can pray in absolute confidence, knowing that God never stops answering. And then he keeps going. He's teaching his disciples about how to pray, and he wants them to understand how, in the divine economy, what God does in prayer. The first part is that we pray with assurance because God answers, it's guaranteed. And the second thing is, he says here is, you know, if you, who as flawed as you are, know how to do good things, how much more do you think God knows how to do good things? So verse 9, he goes, ask and it's going to be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask. If you ask, you're going to receive. It's an invitation. It's not an order. Go ahead and ask. You're going to receive. If you're seeking God, seek, seek, seek. You'll always find him. You'll always find him. Whenever we seek in the Bible, we're seeking God, his answers, his wisdom. We will always find him. He is not elusive. He is not absent. Call out to God, even if you don't know him, and you will find him. He will answer. Knock, and you will be given entrance and access to the kingdom of God. Knock, and you will receive. Knock, you're going to come in. Knock, there is an idea that you just go. And it's not like ask once in a while. It's always ask, always seek, always knock. It is constant, continual. Why? Because everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door is going to be open. We know that's how it is. God is present. He is here. He is attentive. He doesn't doze off. He knows exactly what we need. We know he knows exactly how to take care of the situation. He knows what is best, not us. Sometimes it's hard for us. We believe we know what's best. We've worked it out in our minds. We know exactly what ought to happen. The problem is, so is everybody else. So is everybody else. And often the solutions and the desires that they have don't function well. How do I know that? I just got one word, Congress. They all know what's best. They all can't get along. Any kind of an organization where you have power and authority, everyone knows what's best and they all come at loggerheads. No, just let God do what he knows is best. And then Jesus starts the story. Which one of you dads or moms, when your child asks for something, like say your child wants a fish, how many of you are going to give him a snake? We're going, not me. None of us. How many of you would give pesticides instead of milk? Ludicrous. How many of you, he wants an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? I wonder how Jesus comes up with these things. Do you ever wonder, where did you get that? Of course you're going to give him what he needs. You know, if your son asks for a sandwich, you're not going to give him salt tablets for the water softener. You're going to give him what he needs. And Jesus said, okay, if you, and you're evil, You who are evil know how to do this. Don't you think God knows how to do far better than that? Don't you trust him enough? Don't you believe that God knows exactly what you need and he will do far more than you have ever imagined? In fact, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Just imagine how much God is going to give him. And he has given to you his Holy Spirit, his presence, his power, so that you have every spiritual blessing under heaven. So the thing is, he's telling us to pray. Pray, pray, pray. In the worship thought, I think I asked a question. Can we even be the church if we don't pray? I don't know how. I don't know how. Can we be the church if we're not in prayer on a regular basis? Can we be the church if we are not constantly listening and asking and in dialogue with the Father and the Son, who have all things? We need to pray with confidence. Pray that his kingdom and his name would not only be hallowed but established, recognizing that our daily needs are in his hand, that our forgiveness and our obligation to forgive are in his hand, that our ability to withstand temptation are within his hand, and that he stands ready and present to deal with us. I pray that we as a church, oh Father, would we become really a praying congregation, praying with and for and about one another, that we would pray for everything, that when we come together, we would have freedom to pray, not worried about whether or not our performance is good enough for anyone else, that just we desire to be in his presence. And prayer is like any other activity. The only way you develop prayer life is to do what? I think you got it. So let's do it. Let's pray. And if you ever wonder how to pray, Jesus taught us. Luke 11, Matthew 6. Would you pray with me? Father, teach us as you have over and over again, because we need to learn over and over again. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for working with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.